great song, great truth. And that comes from, that song's from one of the cantatas, isn't it?
Yes.
Trying to remember which one.
Roman.
Okay. We'll think about it for a long time. Which one?
Greatest Gift.
Greatest Gift. All right. Praise the Lord. I remember the cantata, probably my favorite cantata, Then Jesus Came. I remember years ago when we sang that, and I believe the song Born in My Heart is in that cantata, and it just was so first time, and I'd been pastoring for a while when we first sang that, but I really realized that there's two Christmases, and when Jesus is born in our hearts, and when we trust Him as our Savior, and what a blessing that is. And it's fun to think back on all those cantatas, all the different Christmas stories and songs and everything that goes with it, and it is a blessing. And David, I enjoyed your offertory. That was a real blessing to me, Away in a Manger. It made me think of caroling the other night, and that was one of the songs that I was leading a group, and that was one that I kept starting it out too high. And sleep in heavenly peace, and I was the only one on that part, and it was getting pretty tough, but anyway, that was a blessing, David. I appreciate your offertory. 28 years now I've been a pastor, and I believe pastored for 28 Christmases now, and through many winters, Michigan winters, Indiana winters, and we've never canceled a service. I don't care if it's a Sunday, a Wednesday night. We've never canceled a service. I remember one time we had a blizzard in Bern, Indiana, and we were meeting in the basement of the library. Our church wasn't very old. It was probably our first winter there. And we had a little congregation, probably normally about 60 to 75 people coming. And but a blizzard hit. I mean, it was terrible. And of course, we lived in town this time, we didn't cancel because there might be one person come. And so we actually, the radio was announcing all the churches canceling, and I mean, one after the other is canceling, and certainly some out in the country and couldn't even be gotten to. But then the announcer said, and Faith Baptist Church of Bern is having church. And said, yes, there is a church here in town that is having church, Faith Baptist Church. And so we had, it was tough. There were very few people. One fellow, though, he came in on a snowmobile. And I'll never forget, first-time visitor, never been there before, came in on a snowmobile. And I preached to a very little crowd, probably the smallest crowd we had. We started there, we had 30. And this was probably the smallest crowd. There were few people there, but that fellow came. And he sat out there, and I preached a message. And during the invitation, he came and weeping, came to the altar and got some things right with the Lord. And I remember then thinking, you know, if just one comes. And so we've just never canceled our services. I remember another time we had a bad snowstorm, and everybody canceled, and we were open. And we lived out in the country then, and we didn't know if we could get there. And I had a fellow that was helping, Brother Ken Dehas. You've heard of him, and he was helping out. And I called him. I said, "Man, you live in town. You're going to have to preach. I'm not going to make it." And he's panicking. You know, he's telling me, "Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do." And by then we probably ran 100 or so. And of course, a lot of people were struggling. But one of my deacons came in his four-wheel drive truck and came and picked us up. And I mean, we went through drifts. It was unbelievable getting there. But we were a little bit late. And when I got there, my assistant was up there in the pulpit, and he had a Sword of the Lord open, had things underlined, and I'll never forget that. It was one of the funniest things, and he looked at me, and it was like, oh, you know, the weight of the world was off of him. But praise the Lord, you know, we'll be here tonight at 6 o'clock, and of course, we'll have our men's prayer time and ladies' prayer time at 5, and teens will meet at 5, and we'll be here at 6, and if five people show up, if one person, I know my wife will be here, so there'll be one sinner, that'll be me, and then she'll be here also, but anyway, we'll be here. See, I got out of that. It's because we have not opened our gifts yet, so I got that figured out. But, you know, I was thinking about Isaiah 9 and precious verses, and I thought we ought to just go ahead and sing the Hallelujah chorus, but we won't. But just what a blessing, verses 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice, from henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And you know, God wants to perform something like this in every one of our lives. You know, the salvation that was sung about just a little while ago, and the fact of Jesus being born in your heart, the zeal of the Lord of hosts, he can perform that for you today if you've never been saved. I mean, you sit here today and say, you know, I've kind of been listening to all these songs and I've heard them before, but I've never trusted Christ as Savior. The zeal of the Lord of hosts, he can perform that work in your heart today, as he did in Bethlehem, bringing the Lord Jesus to the earth to die for our sins. He'd like to be born in your heart today so that you can be saved. But I was reading this, and I like the words, a child is born. And I thought about, you know, this is a birthday celebration, the birthday of a king. And, of course, we all know the story, and we'll not read the story this time. But I want to celebrate his birthday. And, you know, a birthday is a happy occasion, unless you're a lady over 30 or so. But usually it's a happy occasion, and it's an exciting time. And I thought about the things that go into a birthday celebration. And so that's what I want to talk to you about for a few minutes this morning. And so let's have a word of prayer. Father, if there's someone here lost, save them today. There could not be a better way to celebrate Christmas than for someone to trust Christ as their Savior. And I pray for Christians, Lord. You certainly could perform salvation in someone's life, but you could also transform someone's life today. A Christian who's away from you, not right with you, you could answer prayers today. You could work in our hearts. Give us the counsel that we need. You are the counselor. You are wonderful. You are the mighty God that can do anything. And Lord, you're the Prince of Peace. And I know there's folks here today who just need your peace. And I pray that with your zeal, you might perform that in lives today. Please speak to our hearts. Give us what we need. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What goes into a birthday celebration besides somebody getting older? Well, number one, the first thing that goes into it is an invitation. You have to have an invitation, and you know, usually an invitation will have things like who and what and when and where and why and all those kinds of things, and a lot of invitations will tell the age of the person, and again, unless they're getting in an age where they don't want anyone to know. And you know, there was an invitation for the birth of Jesus, and an invitation goes out, and God gives us his word. He tells us all about it. He tells us who is born, and he says in Isaiah 9:6, a child is born, a son is given. It talks about the government shall be upon his shoulder, and then he gives his name. He's Wonderful. He's a Counselor. He's the Mighty God. He is the Everlasting Father. I mean, honestly, a person would have to deny the Word of God, all of the Word of God, to not believe that Jesus, that little precious baby in the manger, is God Almighty. A person would have to say, you know, I just don't believe the Bible, because the Bible is very clear. He is God. He is the Everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. And the who is God in the flesh, God with us, Emmanuel. Don't miss it in the Christmas story. He's God in the flesh who came to this earth to die on the cross to pay for our sins. What? Well, Isaiah 7:14 says that he would be born of a virgin. What a miracle. What a great miracle. And Mary said it best herself, that with God, anything's possible. God can do anything. And the world scoffs and mocks and makes fun of that idea and says, you Christians, you know, you believe that thing. Well, God tells us clearly he would be born of a virgin. He had to be born of a virgin. It would have to be exactly how God said. So who is it? It's God in the flesh. What is it? He's born of a virgin. And then when? Well, the Bible told us in Galatians 4:4, it was when the fullness of the time was come. Not before, not after. It was exactly the time that God determined that Jesus would be born. I love that. You know, as the Jews were looking for the Messiah, and they were longing for the Messiah, and they looked forward to the Messiah, and then they were excited about the birth, or how the Messiah would come, God said, it isn't going to be before, it isn't going to be after, it's going to be exactly when I say, when the fullness of the time is come. So I said, boy, you know, it was sure lucky that we don't believe in that. Don't believe in luck. I've got a whole shelf of all my lucky things. People give me a hard time because I'm always blasting this thing of luck. And, you know, God made everything happen the way it happened. I'm talking about the taxing. I'm talking about, you know, the king thought, hey, I ought to get some tax. He thought that was his idea. It wasn't his idea. God made him think that. God made everything happen exactly when the time was when he said. And he has a time he's coming back to. And the fullness of the time will come when it's time. Now, we look out and we say, it's got to be soon, got to be soon, got to be soon. But you know what? There is a time. There is the time. And it'll be exactly that time. So our invitation says who? It's God in the flesh. Says what? He's born of a virgin. Says when the fullness of the time has come. And Micah 5:2 tells us where he'd be born. That was in Bethlehem. In Bethlehem. But you know, when I was 17 years old, he was born right here in my heart. And whatever age you were when you got saved, for some it hadn't been that long. There are some folks here that haven't been saved very long. Praise God. He was born in your heart. And for others, it's been many, many years. But thank God there was a time that he came into your life and he saved your soul and he gave you eternal life and you were born again as Jesus said you must be. Praise God for that. Who, what, when, where, and of course, why. Go with me. Keep your place here. Go to Galatians 4. Galatians chapter 4. And again, verse 4 tells us when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. But watch, here's why. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. To redeem them that were under the law. We who are under the law, who cannot keep the law. Are you listening? Somebody says, well, I'm going to work my way to heaven. No, you can't work your way to heaven because you can't keep the law. And the law is perfect. The Bible says that the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Well, if I can't keep it, how does it convert me? Because it shows you that you need him. It shows you that you have to have him who died on the cross, who paid in full the debt that we owe. Praise God. That's why he came. That's what Christmas is all about. That is the Christmas story. You know, I've read the paper and people talk about this and talk about here's what Christmas is all about. It's all about family. Christmas is all about peace on earth. Christmas is all about, you know, all these different things. Hey, it's all about a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. It's all about Emmanuel, God with us. Well, why is he with us? He came to die on a cross. Thank God for an invitation from his word that tells us who, God in the flesh, what, he's born of a virgin, when the fullness of time has come, where, in Bethlehem, why, so I can be saved, that's why Christmas ought to be precious to you. Oh, I know you're going to get that doodad that you've been wanting. I know, you've sent your list in. I remember when I was a kid and my parents gave us the Sears catalog and just said, you know, mark the pages, show us what you want. We don't know what that stuff is, and we were all excited about that. I know all that, and you're excited about, you know, the new green socks you're going to get and the tie that you'll never wear and, you know, all those kinds of things. But, you know, what a great invitation that God offers to you and I. What a great invitation. He makes it very clear. And he says, listen, you need to celebrate this part. It's a great, great, great day. The Savior is born. Now, I don't know if it's December 25th. Don't have any clue on that. I just know there was a time. There was a day. There was a day that God sent his son to die on an old rugged cross. He sent his son to be born, to live a perfect life. He had to be born. He had to grow up. He had to live a perfect life. Never cheated in school. Never told a lie. Never was unkind. Perfect life. No sin, so that he could be the spotless Lamb of God to pay for our sins. Praise God for that. There's an invitation to you today. There's an invitation. You say, well, I'm already saved, preacher. Hey, there's an invitation for the zeal of the Lord of hosts to perform a miracle in your life too. There's an invitation for the zeal of the Lord. Hey, he's still zealous today. He's still zealous to do a work in your life. He's still zealous to do a work in our church. He's still zealous to do a work in Adrian, Michigan. He's still zealous to do a work in Lenawee County. He's still zealous to use you. He's still zealous. He's got the zeal. How about you today? There's an invitation. Invitation. Every birthday celebration, we have an invitation. Number two, we have decoration. Got to decorate. Amen. That's why we have decoration here. right? All birthdays need decorations, right? Cakes, you know, you have to decorate the cake. I was thinking back to our kids' cakes that they had, and they had all kinds. The one I remember of David's was he liked army men. And when he was real little, like 18, no, I don't think he was 18, but anyway, he had an army cake, and I'll never forget that. And my wife said, honey, you can help decorate. I think he decorated his cake that year, and he took all these army men, put them on the cake, and they're shooting each other and everything. It was exciting, and you know, but then we eat the cake, and Angela, she had ponies one year. I remember all these ponies, all that, and thank God they weren't alive. But anyway, and you know, she had all these different little ponies on the cake, and we've had every kind of cake. I mean, you know, there's been all kinds of decorations, and you have to decorate and all that, and you have the streamers and everything like that. And, you know, I think about the decorations. By the way, that's why I think it's a good idea to decorate at Christmas, because we're celebrating, amen? I mean, you know, people say, well, bless God, we think that's too commercial and everything. Well, if you decorate and it is commercial, that's up to you. But I'm just saying, you know, when you just, hey, it's a celebration. Jesus, God in the flesh, God has come to die on a cross for us. Why wouldn't we celebrate? Good night. There's folks celebrating Detroit's in the playoffs for the first time in 10 years. You know, it's a miracle, they're saying. Well, it is a miracle, but I tell you what, the greatest miracle in the world is that God loved us enough to send his son to die for us. That's amazing to me. I think we ought to decorate, and I think it's wonderful, and it's a great thing. But, you know, I was thinking back to some decorations. How about the stable? You know, the stable. Not a very pretty place for a king to be born in, was it? Not a very beautiful place for God to come. Doesn't seem like it, does it? And especially for a birthday, you know, you think about a child is born. A king? Oh, yeah, wonderful. Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And where is he going to be? Well, a little stable. A little stable. Seems like they'd have, you know, there'd have been a better place. But there was no room. No room in the better places. No room. Just a stable. Years ago in London, a missionary went and was talking to people about the Lord, and he came to a stable and he talked to a jockey about his salvation. And the jockey was a famous horse rider and horse racer, and the jockey said, well, look, he said, this is not the place to talk to me about being saved. And the missionary said, oh, you need to understand, Christianity began in the stable. Oh yeah, yeah. You don't need a fancy place. You just need your heart to open up. You don't need, you know, a lot of people say, well, I want to clean up first, and then I'll get saved. I want to get, you know, let me do all my New Year's resolutions, then I'll get saved. Let me clean up my life. No, God wants you just like you are. He'll clean you up. God wants you just like you are today. You don't have to have a fancy place, and you just need a heart that is open to the Lord. You know, I think about the decoration of the stable, and it was absolutely the perfect place because Jesus is the Lamb of God. It could not have been a manger, a birthing place for lambs. Couldn't have been a better place. You study the Christmas story and the birth of Jesus, and there's so many things to look at and so many things that tie together as to him being the perfect Lamb of God. And the stable is a perfect place. I think of the stable, and then I think about another decoration. That's the star. It was a beautiful star. And it's a miraculous star. It had a purpose. It wasn't just pretty there. It was there guiding the shepherds. You know, a lot of Christians' lives are kind of like that star. They're maybe beautiful, but you're not guiding anybody to Jesus. And what an amazing thing to think about, that star being the guide. And it did exactly as God said for it to do. And it was a guide in people's lives. And, you know, we need to be a guide in people's lives. As I think about this birthday celebration and the beautiful star, and we see them everywhere. I mean, people usually on top of your Christmas tree, you're going to have a star of some kind. And do we ever think about the fact that, you know, that star, it just had a purpose, one purpose, and that was to guide people to Jesus. And I think about you and I, and really, that is our purpose. Now, we're supposed to do right, we're supposed to live right, and we're supposed to yield to the will of God, obviously, but always in that is, aren't we to be the lights of this world? Because this world's a dark, dark place. I got news for you. When the rapture takes place and all the believers are gone, it's going to be a real dark place. And we all say, hallelujah, glory to God, I'm out of here. It's going to be great. And it is going to be great. But what about those folks that are left behind? What about that guy you work with? Oh, I know he cusses and swears, and you told him Merry Christmas, and he said blankety blank to you. And, you know, I'll tell you what, he will be left behind. And if you think today for 1 minute, well, serves him right, how sad. How sad. Because we need to be like the star and point people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, every birthday celebration I know of, you have an invitation, you have decoration, but then the third thing is you have the celebration. The celebration itself. And, you know, it's a fun thing. And again, sometimes it's not so fun. Some people really struggle. I know I've got my over-the-hill shelf. You know, I have all these shelves with things people give me, and they want to give me a hard time and everything. And I do have my over-the-hill coffee cup that I was using up until just recently. I quit. I got a Hawaii coffee cup, and I'd rather think about Hawaii than age. Amen. And you know, we all have those things. We have, you know, we've got. And I remember talking about over-the-hill being when you turn 30. Wow. I must be way down in a valley somewhere. I've been over the hill a long time, but there's three things that go into the celebration of a birthday, and one of them is glorifying. No question about that. Glorifying is always there, and you know, you're going to glorify that person whose birthday it is. You know how you do in a restaurant, and usually if it's a man, he doesn't like it. You know, he sees you whispering to the waitress, right? And he knows what you're doing. And pretty soon, here they come. You know, they come from out of the back room, and they're all clapping, you know. How many of you know what I'm talking about? That's the reason you don't go out on your birthday, ever. And, you know, typically, when we're in a restaurant and they do that, we don't care who they're celebrating. We join in. We just like to have fun because they're you know, and usually, and a lot of times, especially if it's a man like my age or something like that, he's just sitting there like, I hate this. Why are you doing this to me? You know, and he's looking at his wife and saying, you did this, didn't you? You can see him. Just watch. Next time. Well, it's you. And, you know, he's saying, you know, why'd you do this? The kids did it. I had nothing to do. Yes, you did. I know you're behind this. And here they are, you know, happy, happy birthday. We're so glad you came. They made up some kind of thing about you being old or something like that. And you sit there and you turn red and you feel really bad and all that kind of stuff. But it's glorifying, sort of. But everybody's singing, you know, and we always sing, happy birthday to you. Woo, happy birthday, right? And everybody's singing, and it's to you because it's your big day, right? Glorifying. That's why, you know, when you read the Christmas story, you think about, how do you announce the birth of Jesus? How would you do it? I mean, the angels light up the sky. The star points to where he is, and the angels light up the sky, and everybody, I mean, they are praising because they know who he is. I often wonder why, when we sing songs, we're not really excited. Maybe we don't know him like the angels. I guarantee the angels wondered, why did he go there? Why is he there? Brother Letson, they did a skit a couple years ago. I don't remember if that was a cantata or a school program. It might have been a school. Anyway, he was an angel, so we know it wasn't real. And but he did such a good job, and the story was so dramatic. And everybody, that little part right there, I don't think it was just the fact that he was wearing a robe, but that little part right there, it just captured everybody's attention that the angels were trying, why is he doing this? Why? Well, see, the angels know who he is. I think sometimes we sort of forget, don't we? Yeah, I think sometimes, sad to say, we forget that he's God. God Almighty. He's our Savior. He's Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. He's the one who died on a cross to pay for our sins. He deserves all the glory. It's his birthday. Again, we don't know if it's this day. We just know he came. And that's what we celebrate. And, you know, I think of the songs that we sing, and all hail the power of Jesus' name. I think of Hark the Herald Angels Sing, Glory to. I think of the song, Glory. You know, and you look at people, and it's like, You know what? If you think about him being the King of Kings, it just changes the song. He deserves our glory, all of our glory. Look at Luke 2, verse 14. Luke 2, verse 14. Luke chapter 2 and verse 14. And really, all these passages, I've been reading them over and over and over again for the last few weeks. Just again, you say, don't you already know them? There's always things to get out of these passages, just like the whole Bible. And Luke 2, verse 14, glory to God. Suddenly, verse 13, suddenly there was with the angel a multitude. They couldn't help it. They could not stay away. All of them, suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Verse 20, the shepherds returned. They couldn't stand it. I mean, they're returning. You know, we're talking about shepherds. And by the way, shepherds typically would just have kind of a quiet life. They're watching over their sheep. They want the sheep to go to sleep. They want them to, stay put. Their lives are pretty quiet, I would think, typically. And they return glorifying and praising God for all the things they'd heard and seen as it was told unto them. And, you know, this birthday celebration, it should be one of glorifying our Lord. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Jesus. Happy birthday to you. Join me. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Jesus. Happy birthday to you, glorifying him. It's his. It's him. It's about him. It's all about him. He's wonderful. Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Don't ever make fun of the Hallelujah Chorus. Don't ever make fun of the old songs. I mean, they give glory to him, and that's where the glory needs to go. Wouldn't it be something if it was your birthday and everybody sang happy birthday to someone else? It'd bother you, wouldn't it? Now, again, depending on your age and who you are and everything. But, you know, it doesn't even make sense, does it? Who do we honor? We honor the one. But you know what? He deserves our honor every day. He's born into somebody's heart all the time. Somebody got saved today. Do you know that? Somebody, I would say probably somebody here got saved. Some child, maybe. And somebody got saved somewhere. And he's coming all the time. And he's performing what he said he would perform. He's doing it over and over again. There's glorifying that goes on in the celebration. What else goes on in the celebration? Well, there's always games. Now, we're not playing pin the tail on the donkey. No, we won't do that today. But games really do have a purpose, you know, no matter how ridiculous. I've never really understood pin the tail on the donkey. Because if you really had a donkey and you really did it, you'd get kicked. I mean, seriously, if you really think about that, it does seem like a strange thing. But what goes into games? Well, there's fellowship, and there ought to be fellowship. I love it, you know, when you get together with family and everything, and fellowship is a lot of good things. And, you know, kids will play these games at a birthday, and you know, the birthday person is always excited, and sometimes maybe you'll let them win, which I don't know if you ought to do that. But the fellowship is so fun to watch these kids playing these games. And, you know, there ought to be fellowship. There ought to be the family time. There ought to be church time. There ought to be like we did when we went caroling on Tuesday. What a blessing that was. How exciting that was to go to the nursing home. I'm already getting notes from folks in the nursing homes that enjoyed the carolers coming by. And there ought to be that fellowship and the good time we had talking about it afterwards and all of that. And church on Sunday and church tonight and just having the fellowship with one another. That is one of the reasons for the games. Another reason for those games at a birthday party is victory. Somebody can win those things. And usually the prizes are stellar prizes. They're things like you might see at a vacation Bible school. Or maybe at the Berean Bucks store, you know? I'm talking about quality prizes that are given out. But, you know, if you don't think about victory during this time of year, I don't know when you'd think about it. Certainly Easter is a time to think about victory. But I'm sorry, I've got to look at that little baby in a manger. And I've got to know that he's going to grow up. And I know that he's going to live a perfect life. And I know that he's going to preach the truth. And I know he's going to make a whole lot of people mad because he preached the truth. And I know he's going to be beaten. He's going to be cut in pieces by a cat of nine tails. And he's going to be nailed on an old rugged cross so that I can have victory. Victory in Jesus. Amen. Amen. And it is in Jesus, and it is in Jesus alone. You come today, and it's amazing how this is such a sad time for so many people. But it should not be for the Christian. Because everything about Christmas, it screams victory. Every part of Christmas, it cries out to you, victory! Praise the Lord for the victory. And then the games bring joy, fun, and enjoyment. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. There is no group of people that ought to have more rejoicing going on than this group right here. I'm talking about real rejoicing. Yes, you're going to have to go back to work next week or the next week. Yes, you're going to have to go back to school. Pastor's not giving you any more days off. All right. Yeah, can we get an extra one somehow? I've already had people ask. And no, that's not going to happen. But you know what? In spite of the impending doom of school or work or whatever it might be, we can have real joy because Jesus came. We can have real joy. Fella just moved into the town. He was new there and didn't know much about the place or anything. And he went down a street and he saw a policeman and it was on Sunday, and he was looking for a church. He asked the policeman, I'm just kind of wondering where a good church might be that I could attend. And the policeman immediately, he said, oh, this one down here. And the guy said, well, why did you pick that one? He said, because when the people leave there, they're always joyful. And, you know, people watch to see. And of all people, we should be joyful. Because it is a joyful life that we have because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Celebration has glorifying, it has games, and then it has gifts. Now, to some people, that's the best time, amen. But Christmas is all about gifts, God's gift, of course. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And I think about the package that was presented to me that had my name on it, because it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. He died for whosoever. That's anybody. That's everybody. And you're whosoever today. And he just offers that gift. Maybe you've already unwrapped presents. All you had to do is just take it. It's yours. Yeah. I wonder if there will be any Christmas trees today or any gifts under the tree that'll be left untouched within the next few days. You know, well, there's a gift, and that's to me, but I'm not going to take it. No. No, we were out of town, and my wife had a couple of gifts, three gifts appear for her all of a sudden. And she's really been snooping around there. Yeah. Yeah. Can you imagine? Yeah, there's one's got my name on it. Hi. I'm not going to open it, though. It'll never happen in any of these homes, guaranteed. And it especially won't happen with your children. I'm not going to open it. No way. No, I don't know what's in there. I'm nervous about that. I'm not going to open that gift. No way. I promise you this. Every gift that has my name on it, I will open it immediately. I have no problem with that at all. I'm so glad at the age of 17, there was a gift with my name on it. The gift is eternal life. I'm so glad that I opened that gift and took that gift from the Lord. That's what Christmas is about. The gift of God is eternal life. You know what's amazing about God, though? He keeps giving. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. His bank account never runs out. He keeps giving and keeps giving and keeps giving. I've preached on this before and often thought it, and every preacher has, I'm sure. But you know, he gave us eternal life. What in the world could we ever give him? He only asked for one thing. My son, give me thine heart. That's all he asked for. You have people that are hard to buy for? You know, what do you want? My dad used to tell us, I don't want anything. Give, you know, what do you want? Nothing. What do you want? Nothing. My wife, one year, she took a box and wrapped it up and gave it to him. He opened it up, and there was nothing in it. Said, there, you got what you wanted. And do you know that that was one of the best Christmases ever? He loved that. But you know, God just asked for one thing. He just wants your heart. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. Yeah, and he wants to just keep giving to you and I. It pleases him. I think of the wise men who really probably did not come right then, but they came later. But they brought gold and frankincense and myrrh and gifts for a king. You say, I could never give anything like that. Just give him your heart today. You're already saved. Say, God, I'll do anything you want me to do. You can have my heart. There's things in my heart that aren't good. I know that. God, here's my heart. Clean it up. Here's my heart, God. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll be what you want me to be. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll be that shining light to guide people to you. Amen. Amen. Well, we've celebrated a birthday with an invitation, decoration, a celebration, and then the last thing is simply this, participation. You ever not get invited to the kid's birthday party? You got left out. Yeah. Remember that? Oh, that's terrible. I remember one time David was little and Brenda was going to have a birthday party at the church for him. And you know, we both said, every child his age is going to have to be. You couldn't just pick and choose. Everybody has to be invited. That means, you know, the kid that spit on him the other day, he has to come. And, you know, the little girl that he pulled her pigtails, she has to be invited. You know, everybody's got to come. You got to invite them all. And you don't want anybody to be left out. Isn't it wonderful that God's invited us all? Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter. I've heard stories of kids, you know, they I'm having a birthday party, but I'm not going to invite them because, well, they're not like us. Aren't you glad God's not like that? He invites everybody. Doesn't matter who you are today. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter where you've been. He invites everybody to participate in celebrating his birth. And, you know, he wants you to participate not just today, but tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day, and every day, and all the time. He wants you to walk with him. He wants you to celebrate with him all the time. It's so frustrating watching so many Christians being down, discouraged, and I know times are tough for all of us, and there's different things, and people are going through things, but you know what? We can always look back. We can always look at Isaiah 9. A child is born, and because he's born, we can live. This isn't it, folks. This, okay, Michigan's economy, it's bad. And okay, Detroit might just win one game in the playoff. All right, so what? You know, my job is shaky. Okay, well, fine. All right, my health. The doctor says, you know, I've got this and that. And okay, all right. This isn't it. We can always, always celebrate because he lives, because he came, because he died, because he was buried, because he rose again, and now we too can live, and we can have eternal life. If you're here today and you've never been saved, I beg you to get saved today. I cannot think of a better way to celebrate Christmas than for you to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's a matter of you realizing you're a sinner and realizing that Jesus died on the cross to pay for your sin and simply calling on him. My Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I wish you would do that today. And then, Christian, whatever God has spoken to your heart about, you come and you let God deal with you. All he asked for today. You say, what can I give God? Give him your heart. Give him your heart. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. No one talking. No one looking around. I wonder if there's someone here today that'd say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I've never trusted Jesus as my Savior. If I died right now, I don't know if I'd go to heaven. Please pray for me. Is there someone like that? Pray for me. Raise your hand. I want to pray for you. I am not sure that I'm saved. Anyone at all, pray for me. I do not know whether I'm going to heaven. Please pray for me. I'm the only one looking. You'd be honest, say, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. How many Christians would say, I am a Christian, I'm already saved, but God is speaking to my heart about something today. Please pray for me, preacher. Raise your hand all over. God bless you. Many hands. Father, I pray we'll make the decisions, we'll answer the call, whatever it is that you speak to us about, that we'll do it, that we'll not grieve your Holy Spirit, that we'll act upon what the Spirit has laid on our hearts. And Lord, that we'll be determined to be a guide like the star, that we'll be determined to rejoice and glorify our God. Please bless the invitation, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.